setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, folks, welcome. Here we go, coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. You've joined a conversation about you, specifically what you were born to do. You were created to fill a unique role in and through your work. You are needed and you must do it. It's just that simple. And I know that if there's just one thing, and I think there's several things, but if there was just one thing we could all agree on from all around the globe, despite political preferences and spiritual beliefs and yada, 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 it's that we all believe that there's some purpose in our lives. Even the most despondent person at some point has felt like, you know, there's got to be more to than just showing up, going to school, and then getting out and getting a job. It's why we ask the question, what should I do with my life? The answer is what you were created to do. And there is relational purpose and professional purpose. We focus on professional purpose on this show. You were created to use what you do best. That's your talent. To do work you love, passion, to produce results that matter to you, mission. And we're going to help you figure that out. We have a 7-stage process that will allow you to see and to walk a clear path to doing what you were born to do. 844-747-2577 is the number, 844-747-2577. All right, let's start off today with some coaching, very practical advice for those of you that want to move up. It's a competition, and you better start treating it that way. You better start thinking about moving up in your life, getting promoted, climbing the ladder as competition. You just need to, because the reality is, it's as competitive as it's ever been in the marketplace, because people are looking more and more and more and more to advance. 48% of Americans are predicted to change jobs this year. And so it's going to be competitive. Companies want talented people. So I want to give you 5 qualities that no matter who you are, where you are, experience, talent, it does not matter. These are personal character qualities that you can develop. So I'm going to run through these very quickly because this is the game changer. This is the edge. So as you self-assess, as I walk through these or in the days ahead, you begin to self-assess and get people that know you really well to speak into this. I highly recommend that. You can improve in all 5 categories. So here we go. Number 1 is likable. This is just good old-fashioned. I'm a nice person to be around. I am an enjoyable person to be around. I'm not a bore. I'm not a cranky old fart. There you go. How about that? You know, we all know one of those guys. You know what I mean? I'm just enjoyable to be around. I treat others well. I'm likable. I wear a smile. I'm enjoyable. Number 2, coachable. Now, this is very important. Let's just break this down. A coachable person handles instruction and correction well. Instruction is obvious. When you learn something new in a new job or in a job that you've been in and something changes, you got to learn a new technology, you'll learn a new way of doing things, whatever, whatever, whatever. Fill in the blank. You are a person who is teachable. You are coachable because of your spirit. You say, okay, I want to learn. I'm going to do my best to learn this well. You're not like griping about it and all that kind of stuff. You got to, and by the way, we've all been there before. We don't want to get instruction on something. It's like, oh, give me a break. I don't want to do this, right? So that's instruction. The next piece of that, of being coachable, is correction. When you need to be corrected, whether that be in a facet of the job or in a personal matter, between you and another employee, whatever it is, and your leader's got to sit you down and go, hey, you can't do that, or you did this, and maybe you didn't know, what you weren't aware of it, whatever it is. You got to receive it well. So this is a spirit. Coachability is a spirit. Third is reliable. Can people count on you? Are you somebody that people trust because you do what you say you're going to do? Reliability. That's huge. Number 4, adaptability. In 2020, LinkedIn reported that this was the number 1 quality that hiring managers were looking for. Do you handle change well? My goodness. Why do you think that was the number 1 quality in 2020? Because we've never seen change like this in our lives. Wholesale cultural universal change. Just bam, hit us like that. Got to change. Got to pivot. Companies had to change so much. The way they worked, what they focused on, cutting costs, finding new streams of revenue to just stay open. So they need adaptable people. Then finally, number five is honorable. This is all about integrity, how we treat people of the opposite sex. We're not creepy. We're not abusive. We tell the truth. We're not liars. We're not cheating our companies. This is just high levels of integrity. So those are the five: likable, coachable, reliable, adaptable, honorable. If you really focus on each of those areas, you can improve. You absolutely can. You can learn to be likable. You can learn to be coachable. You can learn to be reliable. You can learn to be adaptable. And you can learn to be honorable. And can I just say for a quick second, because I have a real heart for people that have blown it in one of these areas. I mean, if you look at this, likable, coachable, reliable, adaptable, honorable, you look at this, you go, these are the areas where people get tripped up, where they blow it. So let's just talk about that. I don't want to, on the YouTube show today, I didn't cover this part, and I was thinking after the series, like, I want to cover the underbelly of these qualities, because all of us have blown it before. And let me also say, this is not a mistake. These are poor decisions. I'm a word guy. I get it. I get hung up on words. But it's kind of irritating when there's a moral failure and you hear or read about a moral failure and you go, well, he made a mistake. No, he didn't. He made a horrible decision. There's a difference. If I run into somebody in the hallway, let's say, and I do this a lot, I walk fast around here, I open a door, and if I come through a door too quick, right, and I'm not paying attention, and or maybe I get up too close to somebody and I knock their coffee and I spill their coffee, well, that's a mistake. I didn't decide to do that. I wasn't paying attention, and that was an accident, right? A mistake. I made a mistake. Or if I'm typing something up and I submit a social media post and I misspell a word or I omit a word, that's a mistake. Okay? Cheating your company, stealing from your company, making inappropriate comments, that's not a mistake. It's a poor decision. But regardless, if you are somebody that's listening and you have had some type of a failure in these areas, you weren't likable, you weren't coachable, you weren't reliable, you weren't adaptable, you weren't honorable, that doesn't mean that you're staying for the rest of your life. It doesn't mean that you're on the shelf. You can own that mistake. You can say, okay, this was an actual mistake, or this was a bad decision. Either way. Because in this situation, if you make a mistake in a process at work and your leader's got to sit down with you and coach you up on it, that's a mistake. It's not a poor decision. You made a mistake. But I can learn from that. Whether it's a poor decision or a mistake, regardless, doesn't mean that I'm stained. I can learn from it. I should learn from it. I should get better. But then I also hold my chin up and I get back out of the cave the next day. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Listen, folks, we talk a lot on the show about making your next career move and taking the next step toward meaningful work. But I know it can be pretty hard to think about taking a step forward when you're stressed out about money in the here and now. Ramsey Plus will show you how to budget every single dollar of your income so you can use it to its full potential, plus so much more. And here's the best part. Right now, you can try Ramsey Plus for 30 days completely free. If you're in and you want to start Ramsey Plus for free, text Ken Plus to 33789. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you move from paycheck to purpose. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Tanya in Seattle, Washington. Tanya, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi. How are you?
I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
I'm a little nervous.
All right. Don't be. We're going to have some fun. I'm going to take good care of you. What's going on?
Awesome. Well, I've been a dental assistant for about 6 years. Mm-hmm. They're paying me well, good people, but they're just requiring me a vaccine, and I just don't want to take it. And very soon in October, I have to go because I made that choice. I'm kind of tired of them just, you know, I was off and then they took me back, and it's just back and forth of this with this vaccine. I want to be done. I really want to move on to something else. And I'm not sure what to move on for.
Okay.
Because I can only do part time. I have a 2-year-old that I'm watching most of the time. So
okay.
I really want to have you help me guide.
Sure.
Because I'm really new to your show.
Okay,
really
great. Well, thank you.
Help.
Well, thank you for trusting me. So let's just be really practical. We're not looking for a big career direction here. It doesn't sound like to me. We're looking for a good part-time job that will allow you to bring in some income and take care of the 2-year-old. So let's just look at what we need to fill. How much money do we need to make and how many hours a week?
Well, I can only do 2 days a week. So that's my only limit.
2 days
three
a week.
Maximum. Yes.
2 days a week. So, how many hours a day?
Full day, 8 hours.
Okay. So
I
you
can
got
do 8-9 hours.
So you can do 16 hours. That's it.
Yes.
Okay. So what are you making, or what were you making as a dental hygienist?
Dental assistant.
Oh, sorry. Dental assistant.
Hourly, I was making $24 an hour.
$24 an hour. Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm more in a discovery mode right now, trying to figure out what I want instead of just pursuing finances. I want to more find out who am I and what I want to do.
Oh, so so I thought that this was more of a focus on, I just need a day job, Ken. Give me some ideas, which was me focusing on your talent and experience. But are you saying?
Yes.
Okay. Well, but again,
I'm focused on what I want to do because I don't have to work if I don't want to. My husband
Okay. All right. So that changes everything. Okay. So you're new to my show. So let me just tell you, let me give you what I teach, because you're in the get clear stage, which is the first of my 7 stages that will lead you to what you were born to do. So stage 1 is get clear. And so what we look at is we look at talent, what you do best. Because talent, Tanya, that's that's your tool belt, right? Those are your tools. The things you do best are tools to do work you love, which is called passion. I call passion work you love. So you love the work, right? It's like you look forward to this work. When you're involved in this task or this kind of a role, time seems to disappear. You understand that? You've experienced that? Yes or no?
I do. Yes, I have.
Oh, well, then tell me the kind of work that fits that description.
Well, in dental assisting, I get to help a doctor, but then I also get to help patient a bit. I remember last time the patient had the questions, and I love helping people.
Yeah.
Love explaining when I was in, patients asking me, I'm explaining. I love that part of it. Helping people, talking to them. That was that was my great moment. But I tried marketing. They had me do marketing. I hated every second.
Yeah, no. I agree. You are, I'll bet you that if you took my Get Clear Career Assessment, I'll bet you that communication and connection are two of your higher scores when it comes to talent. Does that sound about right?
Yes.
And I'll bet you that on passion, work you love to do, I'll bet you you enjoy caregiving, just caring for people. I wonder if you don't enjoy advising as well in some form or fashion. And it's all about service for you. So here's the deal. You are really good at people stuff and you enjoy people work. Is that a fair, simple way of saying it?
Yes, absolutely. I love talking to people. Yeah.
So here's the deal. You are walking because of the vaccine. if you go to do any other type of patient assistance, like working in a clinic at the front desk, checking people in, making sure they get all the stuff filled out, they're going to make you do a vaccine there too. So you can just pretty much cross healthcare out. So now we start looking at where are other places where I am customer facing, and that's a fancy way of saying I'm dealing with people most of the day. I'm looking at people, I'm talking to people, and I am serving them in some way. I've got to communicate with them information that they need. Maybe I need to advise them a little bit of instruction, maybe on showing them how to handle this. I don't know, but it's that type of caring for people that you need to be looking for. So that could be doing customer service in person a couple days a week. It could be as simple as, I'm making this up just to show you how wide open this is for you. Let's say you know somebody, and again, I'm making this up. Don't read into this. Let's say you know somebody, a good family friend who runs a tire center, and they can't find anybody right now. These companies have a hard time getting hourly workers to come in, and they need somebody to answer the phones and check people in and tell them, hey, it's going to be 20 minutes. We'll have your car ready. Or they need to order some tires. I can help you. Whatever. I'm just making this up. But that's a customer-facing job where your whole job is to communicate to people and help them get what they need. And if it's, and again, I'm making the tire thing up, but the idea is that you need to be in a job where you are interacting with people.
Right.
And you need to be doing the work of advising, caregiving, maybe even teaching. And I'm saying teaching not as an educational role, but just like, okay, here's what you need to do. So maybe you're helping senior citizens in some way. It could be so many different things, so many different things. Mm-hmm. But you just need to allow yourself to go, oh, so this is what the sweet spot means. I haven't hardly listened to this Ken Coleman guy. The bottom line is, if you're using what you do best, your talent, to do work that you enjoy, that you love, and you see a result of service coming out of that, you're a happy lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of wide open. Could be a customer service job you do from home, where you're talking to people on the phone, or you might go, no, I feel like I need to see somebody. I need to physically be in front of them. Great. Where are all the places in Seattle, Washington, which may be limited depending on COVID, where I can be in a job where I'm looking at a person and I'm hearing their problem and I'm a part of their solution? Customer care, customer service. I think that role, you get the juice. Yeah. So, you know, it's wide open. And listen, you're only looking for 2 days a week anyway. So then, you know what I would look for next? I would look for ways where you can care for customers or connect with people, and it's tied to maybe something that you really enjoy.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes, it does. Totally.
So I'm making this up too, but let's say you loved animals. Well, then what if you did a reception job 2 days a week at a veterinarian? I'm just making this stuff up. But it's like, who's doing something that I connect to? What's a business, a service, or a product that I care about? And I go, oh, this is exciting. Maybe I care about fitness. Okay. So maybe I want to check people in at the gym, you know, and help new gym members get acclimated. I don't know. Listen, folks, this stuff is not complicated. When we start to see, oh, this is what I'm good at. These are the tools I'm going to use. What kind of work do I love? Oh, I love like customer service, taking care of people. I love talking to people, connecting with people, make them feel comfortable, make them feel informed. Great. So that means I'm all about service. Where can I do that? That purpose statement fills itself out. I was created to use this, to produce this. Don't move. More of your calls coming up. Helping you get unstuck and then get on purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I am so happy that you've joined us. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. 844-747-2577. Big part of this purposeful journey is you're going to have to change jobs. You're just going to have to move up the ladder. You're going to have to switch ladders. You're going to have to actually get on the right ladder. And I can tell you that I know it's frustrating. It's intimidating, the job search and just applying. And because of the onset of technology, so many people apply for jobs and they never even talk to a real person. They have to submit online and there's algorithms and all this stuff. And you don't hear anything back and it's really frustrating. And so that's why ZipRecruiter can help you. They're going to get time back in your schedule because you're not reapplying all the time. You're not just submitting. You've got an actual recruiter working for you in the form of the number one job site in the United States. Their candidates are three times as likely to get hired. They have a one-click apply feature when you go to ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. They start submitting your application, and they let you know when companies look at it, when companies like it, when companies ask for your contact information because they'll contact you directly. So you've got feedback. You know somebody's out there working for you. So I don't know what you're waiting for. It's absolutely free. If you want the easier job search, sign up for free right now at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. Go now. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's see here. Oscar is up next in Dallas, Texas. Oscar, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, how are you?
Oscar, I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
Trying to get unstuck. I'm just having a hard time figuring out what I should do.
Okay, you got some ideas? Yes. Don't tell me, Oscar, don't tell me that you don't have any ideas. I don't believe that. You're laughing, so I know I'm right.
Well, I've taken your assessment. I got the $30 bundle.
Oh, good.
I'm having a hard time picking.
Okay. But are you confident now that you see that purpose statement and you go, oh, that makes sense?
Like the talents and the passions make sense. I'm just trying to put it all together.
Yeah, I get it. But when you looked at the professional possibilities, what did you see that intrigued you?
Let me see here.
We told you after you got your purpose statement and you got your report on your talent, passion, and mission that we showed you a purpose statement and we said, here's some professional possibilities. And we say, cross out the ones that make zero sense. Circle the ones that are intriguing. Let's start there. And then I want to get your ideas because you told me you had ideas. So what did you circle that made some sense that intrigued you?
Data science, project management, nursing, protective services.
Good. All right. What was your missional result? What was the primary missional result on the assessment?
On the talent or?
No, mission. So talent was the first three, mission. Passion the second three, and then we gave you a primary missional result. What was it? I'm going to take a wild guess that it was service. Do you got your results in front of you?
I do.
What is it? What did it say? It's the green one. One missional result. What was it?
It says results you want to accomplish.
Yeah. What was the result?
It says the results of work can be grouped into six categories of mission.
Yeah.
You're about to discover the contribution you want to make.
All right. I tell you what.
Top mission influence.
It's like you. What was it?
Influence.
Influence was your number one result.
That was the top mission, yes.
Okay, great. That's all I was looking for. Okay, great. So you want to influence people, right? That's a big thing for you, correct?
Yes.
So did that match up to you? You go, oh, I see that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
All right, and then look at the rest of it. We also showed you what you scored on the others. Did service score high? I'm curious.
Yes, service, creation, and achievement.
Okay, good. All right, so the influence and service. So here's what that tells me. You want to do people work, people-focused work, yes?
Yes, Andre.
All right. Now, you circled some ideas on the professional possibilities, but I want you to tell me the ideas that you chuckled about when you acted like you didn't have them at the start of the phone call. So what are the ideas that you've been thinking about?
Either technology or something healthcare related.
Good. Why? Why technology? Why healthcare type work? Tell me.
Because you're helping people in a way.
There you go. It's about helping people for you. So now it comes back to you've got the the test results from the assessment, and that fills out your purpose sentence, your purpose statement. You've got it right there in front of you. So every job you look at, Oscar, you got to go, does this allow me to use my top talents? Does this allow me to do my top three passions? Does this allow me to produce the results of influence? And then service is right there up at the top too. Does it allow me to influence people? So for instance, if you're going to be in healthcare, the type of work that could influence people, that could influence change, right? Could be all different types of work. But what's interesting to me is you said technology first. So why did you say technology first? If you had to choose between technology and healthcare, but I guaranteed you a successful career, which one would you choose?
I would probably choose tech.
Why tech?
Just because of the flexibility of it.
Yeah, but there's more to it than
you
that.
You're
really talented at that type of stuff, aren't you?
Well, I'm always doing research and doing analytical stuff.
There you go.
I always find myself researching things.
Good. All right, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to do two things. If you would prefer to be in tech, I want you to do some research on all the different types of jobs in tech that intrigue you. Have you done that?
I have on a few, yes.
Good. So have you also looked into what it takes to get qualified to do those jobs?
I have, but some of them have conflicting pathways. Like they don't really have like a structured path.
Okay, so tell me the tech jobs you've looked into.
Data science, analytics, software development, UX, UI.
Okay, great. I got great news for you. I don't know how long you've been listening to the show, but I just had the CEO of Bethel Tech, which I partner with on this show. They are world-class. Right. They're just north of Silicon Valley. They train people like you in a 9-month program, and it's less than $15,000 if you can cash flow your way through it. I want you today at some point to call them and say, I was on the phone with Ken Coleman today. I took his Get Clear career assessment, and I've determined that I'm very interested in data analytics, basically data science jobs, you know, any of that kind of stuff. Just tell them all that because they train for that. And then and listen, and then ask them what their program is like, how you can do it from home on your schedule. And they've got a placement program where 80% of their students are getting placed for jobs. I'd start with Bethel Tech, but then also you can look at other programs locally. But if you know what it takes to get qualified, now it's just a function of going, how long is that going to take me? How much is it going to cost? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So you're on your way. And you look at your purpose statement that you got in the Get Clear Career Assessment. You go, if I was doing that type of tech work, would I be on purpose? What's the answer?
Yes.
Yes. So go do it. So you have lots of ideas. Now, I'm going to give you one more step. After you talk to Bethel Tech and anybody else that can train you, I want you to actually reach out to some people, whether you know them directly or indirectly, who do that kind of work. And I want you to say, hey, can I do a phone call with you, a Zoom, a coffee, a lunch? And the reason is I want you to talk to somebody who's doing it successfully and go, what's the best part of your day? What's the worst part of your day? How'd you get where you are? How often do you get promoted? What are the professional possibilities? When we talk to people who are actually doing what we want to do, the proximity principle, I wrote an entire book about it, then we get even more clarity and more confirmation. That's the process of clarify and verify. Clarify and verify. So Amanda, let's do this. Let's give him a copy of my book, The Proximity Principle. He's got his assessment results. He's clear. This is all about connection for opportunities, but you got to get trained. So either Bethel Tech or somebody else, go to betheltech.net, call them today. They'll get you qualified. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get clear, get qualified, get connected, get started, get promoted, get the dream job so that you can work and live like no one else and give yourself away. This is the clear path to doing what you were born to do. Let's go to Savannah, who joins us in Atlanta, Georgia. Savannah, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You bet, Savannah. What's up?
So I've been doing culinary for a while now, and I've been going to school for it. And I'm in my last semester, and I just got into my internship, and I'm now working there full time. However, I'm starting to realize that this isn't what I want to do. And I've been looking at different avenues, but I'm struggling with, should I go to something else, or should I just, obviously I'm going to finish out my degree, but should I just stay in the culinary field, or should I go and pursue a different avenue?
Pursue the avenue that you know you want to pursue. You know it's not culinary, right?
Yeah, I'm really thinking it's not culinary.
Tell me why, I'm curious. And not because I don't believe you, because I want you to hear yourself tell me what is causing doubt.
I'm not really happy to go into work. The satisfaction's not there anymore. I'm just counting down the hours till I get to go home.
Well, wait a second. It was there? There was some satisfaction with cooking at some point?
In my younger years, but I think it was more like, oh, this is something that's new and exciting, and this is what I want to do. And then you start to get into the industry, and you realize, like, I don't think this is for me.
Okay, good. What do you think is for you? What are you wondering about?
I've started doing some research into coding.
Yeah.
Specifically, I've been looking at Python, and I'm starting to realize that I really like that.
Yeah. Interesting. Do you see a tie between coding and cooking? I do. I'm just curious. There's no wrong answer, but I'm curious if you see it. What do you think the answer is?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
It's okay. It's okay. I put you on the spot. I think it's the same. I think it's the same juice for creating. I think you love to create. True or false?
I could see that.
Do you? Do you love creating?
I do.
Yeah. So a dish, right? Or a menu, or coding some type of app or website or whatever is still the act of creation. So I'm trying to make you feel confident because I see a connection. I see a tie. I think you're using the same talents. And so I teach, you use what you do best, talent, to do work you love, to produce results that matter to you. And I think that creation and solution are two results that you get excited about, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what coding is. So I think you follow this. And I think you leave culinary. But what
do you
I
think I should still just continue out, just finish my degree and then take this 4 months to practice coding and
yeah. How much do you have left? How much do you have left in the culinary?
I only have 4 months left.
Yeah, I'd finish.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. You're so far into it that I think you finish it because you never know if that creative juice for food is going to come back. See,
okay.
See, I don't think you're choosing as specifically as it feels. So I'm not trying to play mind games with you or the audience, but I want the audience to lean into this. I don't think you're choosing programming, computer programming over culinary. I think you're just going, this is the type of creation I want to do now. I've done the culinary. I'm ready for a new challenge, but I'm still creating. And it wouldn't surprise me if 10, 15 years from now you go, you know what? I think I want to open up my own restaurant on the side. I've been very successful in technology. I'm still successful, but I want to get back into this. That, you see what I'm saying? It's not like you're choosing either or. I think it's both and, but I think it's a new season for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, you just chuckled. You smile because you like the sound of that, don't you?
I do. I've been really teetering back and forth with this for a couple months now and thinking that, no, like I'm just being silly and
no,
being
you're not.
Wishy-washy.
Nope, 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 nope. You're ready for a new season and a new type of creation, but I don't think that the culinary side of you dies. So yes, I'd finish the culinary degree because you're so close. Finish, be proud, and we're going to stack that for later or maybe not, but you're still doing the right thing. Proud of you. Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions worldwide headquarters in Nashville, and we continue to bring clarity to folks so they can confidently step out on the path to being who they were created to be. I can tell you this, clarity leads to confidence, and confidence leads to courage. Really fun. Got to meet some folks out in front of the studios just on the commercial break. And I just met Amy. And Amy called the show, Joe, a couple years ago. And she took the advice, but she did something with it. Started out as a teller, and now she's crushing it. She's taking over the world, basically. I mean, essentially, she's just taking over the world. So that's really awesome. And so it's really, really fun. And the reason I mention that is I want to point out that you're welcome to come watch the show. We love to meet people that have been on the show. I mean, that's why we do the show. I do the show because of Amy. I mean, that's why we do it. I mean, this isn't some performance. You know what I mean? And so I forgot to ask you, Amy, is it kind of weird seeing me talk to other people now that I've talked to you live on the air? Or is it just like, oh, it's pretty normal. He's just talking to people. Yeah, it's not like I'm some sort of zoo animal. I love meeting people. And I'm just talking to people. I'm just coaching people. And so if you want to come watch us, and I'd love to come out and high five you, take a picture with you, sign a book, whatever. But that's really, really cool. So thankful for the Amys, and that's why I get out of bed. Really, really fun. Okay, let's keep on going. Chicago, Illinois is where we go next. Jack joins us there. Jack, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Ken, I got to say, I'm a huge fan, and this is just really exciting to talk to you.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you, Jack. What are we talking about?
Awesome. So, all right, so I've always had this dream as a kid for starting a late-night show. And during COVID, I kind of came up with a business plan, and I've been looking around, and it can be an internet show, but no one's doing it. So I'm like, okay, this is great, right? Figured out what I want to do.
Yeah.
But the issue is I started thinking, well, you know, who's my network right now? And I got a little bit of a network, but I kind of need to build that a little bit. So that would be my first question. And then the second question is if I'm thinking like a winner, right? And I'm thinking this is going to be really successful, right? I'm thinking, okay, so I'm going to have a pretty good following. And, you know, you being in radio probably know people where, you know, if you have a big following, you need a good circle around you to kind of keep you in check and check in with people and everything, you know? And I don't have that right now. And so I'm kind of looking for people that, for lack of a better term, really like themselves. Because people that like themselves tend to, you know, be kind and compassionate people. So that's kind of my two questions right now is one, I'm looking for a network, and two, I'm looking for where can I make friends that like really like themselves and I could really, you know, count on them and they can count on me.
Yeah. So, okay, let me address the second part of the question first because it's the easiest one to address. So the way to do that is to have a good wife, a good spouse, and good friends. How do I stay grounded? A really good woman and good friends who, if I start acting like I think I'm a big shot, they will punch me right in the throat, including Stacy.
Right.
And I'll also tell you this, one of the added benefits of accountability and just keeping me grounded is having three teenagers. Because I tell you this, they don't give a rat's patootie about anything that I've done. They don't care. I could come in from New York doing media, be on national television, this really cool thing, and I'm talking about it with my wife or something, or I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I walk in, Dad, he said this, he did this, or I need help with my algebra homework. They don't care. They could care less. So any moment that I get a big head, all I got to do is walk into my house, and I'm just a dude who's trying to keep the house spinning the right way. You know what I mean?
Totally. Here's the thing, Ken. I'm in my early 20s.
Yo, I know you're in your early 20s. Everything you said told me that.
I was going to say, I can't have any teenagers right now.
No, I get it. I was entertaining the rest of the audience because everybody knew how young you were by the way you set up that question. So here's the deal. You need to get around people who are chasing their own dream. I like what you said, but I'm going to add to it. I mean, I get what you mean. You go, I want to be around people that like themselves. I think that's a really good way of saying that. But I will tell you that to find those people, you really want to be around people who are your age And I would also add, it'd be great for you to start hanging out with a 35-year-old dude who's getting after it, who's crushing it in life, and they're really pleased and happy with where they are and where they're going. Maybe a couple of 45-year-old mentors. I mean, hanging out with older people who are on purpose, it's a godsend. And I did that a lot in my early 20s. But
where
really,
can I find that?
Oh, stop it. First of all, like, where are you socializing at right now? I mean, what's your life outside of work?
I'm living with my parents right now.
Do you work?
I don't know. During COVID, I started reassessing my social circles, and I realized, ooh, I picked some bad friends.
Okay, do you have any? Good for you. But my point is do you have? Are you involved in a church? Do you do any kind of? You play golf? Do you have a hobby? I mean, you want to be in entertainment, like. You need to start hanging out with people that are in the entertainment space, to be honest with you. That's the proximity principle. In order to do what you want to do, you got to be around people that are doing it and in places where it's happening. So Chicago's a big city. I'd start volunteering, interning, finding people. Who do you know that knows somebody that's in the news industry or in the television industry or in live events? Or like, that's where you find these people. You understand what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. You need to get in. You're young. You live at home. So this is a pretty risk-free time for you. I'd be showing up every place that there was some type of television going on in Chicago until I got in doing something. Are you tracking with me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm following.
And then as far as the friends go, I find it hard to believe that a guy your age doesn't have some good friends from high school that went on and they're not losers and they're not the kind of people that are dragging you down. Am I right?
You'd be wrong, man. That's what I'm saying.
You got no friends from high school? You got no friends from high school that aren't losers?
A lot. I'm telling you, man, I was really screwy in high school. I just started putting my act together like during COVID.
Okay, good. Okay, this, you know what? I really appreciate the honesty. So this is a fresh start for you. I don't know if you've, I don't know if you've ever been to church before or if there's any kind of civic clubs or something where there are people that are going to get better, you know? Like, do you work out?
Yeah, I work out daily. I do a light workout, but, you know, I get my exercise in daily.
I'd start just talking to people, finding out interesting things about people and find people that are just getting after it. I really, if I were you, I'd start paying attention to some of my parents' friends and people that are successful, and I start leveraging what relationships I have to connect with others. But I think the number one goal for you is to actually, I'm going to give you a copy of my best-selling book, The Proximity Principle. I want you to read it and do it. But I want you to start hanging out and finding ways to volunteer, even if it's entry-level jobs, sweeping the floors of a Chicago television station. You got to get in the TV industry. You could start meeting people who are serious and on purpose and are getting after it in that industry. That makes the most sense to me because you've acknowledged that you've made some poor decisions in your friends. So instead of focusing on friends, let's go focus on some professional connections, and some of those are going to turn into friends. Do you hear me?
Totally.
And then you learn this lesson. On my social media right now, you can go to my Instagram page, easiest way to do it, at Ken Coleman. I have posted a clip from a talk I did 2 years ago. And I source in this clip a study, the longest and most legitimate study on relationships in the history of the world is through Harvard. And the current guy, who's, I think his name is David McClellan, who oversees it, has looked at the research and they've determined, you ready for this? They followed people for 50 years. And they determined that 95% of our success or failure is determined by the people we spend the most time with. What?
I know.
Yeah, you
that's
know it.
That's driving me crazy. I'm like, man.
Well, you're good. So here's the deal.
That's why I was excited to talk to you, man.
Well, good. Here's the deal. I love the dream, but you know what you need to do? Keep the dream alive, but you need to go work in the TV industry and become a rock star. Go study the stories of Jimmy Fallon, Katie Couric specific. I want you to read their stories, how they got on, what they did.
I already did.
Good. We'll keep doing it. But go hang out. Get in proximity. Hey, before I go, remember this. You matter and you have what it takes. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.